Hello and welcome. This is Colleen O'Grady, the host of the Power Your Parenting Moms to Teens podcast. This is a gathering place for moms of preteens, teens, and young adults. My mission is to first and foremost support and encourage you, mom, so that you can live well and reclaim your life. Two, this show will help you have the best possible relationships with your teens so that you can communicate, motivate, and guide them effectively and actually enjoy them. And third, I will bring you top-notch guests who will share the newest in adolescent research and trends so you can be prepared and aware of what your teens are facing today. Always, you will leave each episode armed with practical parenting tips. Welcome back, everyone, to the 266th episode of Power Your Parenting, Moms with Teens podcast. I'm Colleen O'Grady, the host of the show. Hey, podcast community, I would love it if you would come join me on May 3rd. I'm having a one-hour event on Zoom called Ask Colleen. So if you and I were having coffee together today, what question would you ask me about your tweens or teens or young adults? The thing that's really tough about parenting is once you're clear, then your teens are a moving target. They get their driver's license or they're about to graduate from high school, and then there are new questions. Well, Ask Colleen, I will answer your questions for free. You can send me your questions ahead of time and protect your privacy, or I can interact on Zoom with you. Again, this is a free event. All you have to do is register at ColleenO'Grady.com/AskColleen. Again, that's ColleenO'Grady.com/AskColleen. If you would rather have a private one-hour individual session with me, I would love to help. I would love to support you anyway, if that's supporting you personally or supporting you with your kids. I've been seeing clients for 30 years. I have 50,000 hours of experience. Just email me and tell me that you would love some coaching. We can hop on the phone for a few minutes and see if it's a good fit. Our guest today has a unique viewpoint on teens. We talk about competition, comparison, jealousy, envy, body image, mindset, confidence, and self-worth. Caitlin Fuhrer is a dynamic mentor, seasoned consultant, and highly experienced coach specializing in cheerleading, tumbling, and mindset development. With a passion for guiding individuals towards fearlessness and surpassing limitations, Caitlin has empowered a diverse range of clients, from cheerleaders and athletes to aspiring business owners. Caitlin's impact extends far beyond individual coaching sessions, as she has been sought after to share her wisdom and insights on various podcasts and publications. Her greatest joy lies in guiding her clients to break free from self-imposed limitations and unlock their full potential in health, wealth, vision, and business. Through her guidance, Caitlin empowers others to step into their greatness and create a life of fulfillment and abundance. So welcome, Caitlin Fuhrer.
Hi, thank you.
So the first question I ask all my guests is if you are a mom, and if so, what are the ages of your kids?
So yes, I am a mom. I have two daughters. They are 15 and 12. And then I also have four bonus kids. They are all in their 20s though, so they're older.
So yeah, you can relate to all the moms who will be listening today. So I know that, like, I have a daughter and she's now 28 and she's like been one of my biggest teachers. So what have your daughters taught you?
Oh, geez, do we have enough time to go through all of it? It's funny. I think, you know, you said your oldest daughter, right? I my oldest daughter is my biggest teacher. She is so opposite from me in so many ways. And then the things, she's my mirror in so many ways too. Like she's very direct. She's very decisive. She knows what she wants and she knows nothing will stop her. And that is the biggest strength that I know I possess. And it's the biggest strength she possesses, but it is really a challenge to raise.
Yes.
And then my youngest, I always say she's like little Caitlin. She's my inner child. It's like I'm creating her childhood and I'm raising myself through it, as if I'm addressing my inner child and young Caitlin. She sees the world in ways that I remember seeing the world, with big imagination and sincere love for animals and people and things like that. So it's funny, they teach me in different ways, right? Like my youngest teaches me definitely to love myself in all areas and to just fully embrace who I am and that little girl, Caitlin. And my oldest shows me where I can be softer with people and how to be more patient. Definitely.
Yes, that's awesome. I'd be more
confident. Yeah, she's very, yeah. very confident. And I say I'm a confident person, and then I watch her and I'm like, damn, that's a confident person.
Right. So what got you interested in coaching cheerleaders and tumbling?
Okay, so I actually was a competitive gymnast growing up, and then that went to cheerleading in high school and college. And then all-star cheerleading came around my first year of college, and I started coaching, just helping with tumbling and just kind of helping out with some things. And then through college, I was coaching. They say, you know, those that cannot do, teach, and I couldn't do anymore. So I started teaching and coaching it. And at first I was, they say there's different kinds of coaches, you know, the coach that's the forever athlete that was like, let me just show you how to do it myself. I've started out very much that way. Like, let me teach you by showing you. And it developed into so much more. I started seeing kids really step into themselves. I started to see that there's not one way to coach someone. And it's led me down this amazing path. And you know, there, I will say this too, this little sidebar. When I quit competitive gymnastics, my dad said, hugest mistake of your life. Why are you doing that? You'll never go anywhere with cheerleading. You're not going to get anything. And I was like, watch me, because I am that person. If you tell me I can't do something, I'm going to show you 25 different ways I can. You know, I was like, they don't even offer scholarships for cheer. And I was like, yes, they do. You know, it was $500, but still I got it. It covered like $2, but I just kept on and kept on and kept on. And there's something that drives me of like, no, Dad, I'll show you. Like, I can do cheer. I can do all of this for the rest of my life. It's been amazing. Coaching has really led me down this path of not just teaching skill set, but also teaching mindset, and then incorporating that into my career now, which is amazing.
That's so great. A lot of moms who have cheerleaders or have girls that wanted to be cheerleaders. What are some of the challenges when you are working with gymnasts or cheerleaders?
The parents are the biggest challenge, I'll be honest. So kids want to express themselves, right? And when they're younger, it's awesome. It's great. And they get to about 14 and they want to do this thing like where they cut the umbilical cord. I'm my own person. I make my own decisions, things like that. And so sometimes you see parents not like those decisions or not like those choices and like, no, you've been doing it for so long. You have to keep doing it this way. And they almost think it's a one size fits all. And that's not always the case. And sometimes I have parents that, you know, why isn't my kid advancing? Why are the other kids in this tumbling class all getting, you know, their fulls and their double fulls and my kid's not? There's nothing wrong with your kid. You have a stronger desire for your child to get the skill than they do. And the way that they're going to do it is going to be different than other people. And that's totally okay. You know, and then you also have the parents that like, you have 4, 5, 6-year-old kids. And they're like, my kid needs to be in the gym every day, like going crazy. And you're like, also your kid doesn't need to be a kid too. Like, it's okay if they're not a world-class athlete at the age of 6, that's fine too. I think a lot of times us as parents get in the way. I know I've been so guilty of that, where I drive my kids to be something that I want them to be, or I think, oh my gosh, I want to live vicariously through my kids. Especially I coached acro too in the dance world. And I think it's very prevalent in the dance world of parents pushing, as with any competitive sport, honestly. Kids are all different, just like people, just like we're all different. Like, you and I are so different, right? In sport, sometimes parents don't see that. They think if this is a sport, my kid has to be the same as this other kid, has to be the same as this other kid. But these are team sports. Teams don't have all the same person on it. Like for a cheerleading example, there's a flyer, there's 2 bases, there's a backspot, there's tumblers, and they're all needed on a team. Not every kid can be a flyer. It would be the most boring routine you've ever seen. There'd be no one to hold them up. They'd just stand there. I, you know, for me personally, I have my 2 daughters, my oldest, never been a tumbler, does not like to tumble. It was like pulling teeth to get her to tumble and to get her to flip. She is at a level 3 tumbling. She competes on higher teams because of her stunting experience, but tumbling wise, she's a level 3. Whereas my youngest, she's a level 6 athlete. She tumbles all day, every day, can't get enough of it. So I tried for a long time to make my oldest, she was my baby, she was me. I thought, why isn't she an amazing tumbler? I was an amazing tumbler. This is what I coach. Why isn't she doing it? I realized Hallie loves the sport for different reasons than Harper loves the sport. My youngest has this drive to be the best, to always be looking for what's next, to pushing herself to the physical extreme. She goes out there to win. And Hallie goes out there because she's surrounded with her friends, because she loves her coaches, because she loves performing, because she's the greatest dancer. She's front and center of every dance. And Harper, they hide her in the back for the dances. That's totally okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think the biggest challenge I've found with coaching is usually the parents wanting their kid to be something that they just aren't. And that's totally okay. Your kid's not you, even though they come from you. They are definitely not you.
As a coach, how do you build like kind of this healthy competition and yet instill in these girls how to be supportive of each other and that?
So this is one thing I love about the sport of cheerleading, honestly. And we see it in other sports as well. But for cheerleading, you have to be able to cheer on everybody on your team. Whereas gymnastics, when you compete, you're competing against the girls on your team, but as a team too. So it's a little bit harder to build culture. But with cheerleading or with any sport too, you're only as good as the worst person on your team. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom Brady, for example, for football, amazing quarterback. But if he doesn't have an amazing running back or multiple of them or amazing wide receivers, doesn't matter how good he is. If he doesn't have an amazing line to keep him protected, you're only as good. Your team's only as good as the worst person on your team. So you could hit a flawless routine. And if the worst person messes up all that, you're not winning. You have to build each other up and work together and able to win or to score high or to do your best. Like I can only do my best if everybody else is doing their best. And so you have to be constantly competitive with yourself, pushing yourself to do your best, but your best might look different than someone else's best. And that's okay. We all have our different strengths. Let's say someone's not the best tumbler on the team. These kids on the team have to still love that person for what their gifts are and what the strengths are and what they bring to the team, because they're only as good as that person. That's what I do love about that. And it's interesting with cheerleading too. We've got three of the best gyms in the country here in Salt Lake City, Utah. It's hard when kids leave or change gyms and things like that. But because you build these relationships, it's still okay to go cheer them on their other teams at these gyms that you're competing against. The better we do, the better everyone does. Is that competition, even though we're in competitive sports, is low level mindset. There is enough for everyone. Creativity, that is high level. And we just want to be cheering for everyone because not one team's going to win all the time. And the more I cheer for someone else, the more it comes back to me in different ways. And so I just tell them, like, be competitive with who you are, be competitive with your team, but don't ever be a bad sportsmanship. It always comes back to bite you. Yeah.
That's so important.
It is.
I think what happens to a lot of moms, because I hear it from both sides of the teen and college student and the mom, but I think a lot of times the teens will tell a story to the mom, and then they get ruffled about the story that the teen has told them. Like, I guess you can tell me if I'm wrong, but a lot of times I think maybe people perceive the flyer is one of the top-notch things in cheerleading. So this one girl was offended because she wasn't going to, you know, she was a flyer, and then they're putting someone else to be a flyer. So she told that story like to her mom, and it was because probably, and then the mom thought it was because of, you know, you just have reasons.
Oh, yeah. This happens all the time. This happens. I mean, this happened last night, honestly. These kids have these dreams that I want to be the flyer. I want to be the flyer. People only watch the flyer. And I'm like, that's not true. Your bases are judged the same way your flyer is judged. Your back spots are judged the exact same way. That tumbler doing the tumbling pass across the front while people are making a set, judged the exact same. They're all different categories within the scoring sheet. It's so funny. There is this weird stigma that flyers do it all, but also flyers do more work off out of practice than any other position too. They have required workouts they have to do, required stretching classes, required pictures they have to send in, and additional stretching they have to do. And so it's a lot of work too. And some people don't realize the pressure that goes into it and the work that goes into it. And again, a flyer is only as good as its bases.
Yeah. So what advice would you have for the mom who hears the story from one of her daughters about like some, like I'm being the, either the team's not fair, the coach isn't fair, you know, they're not giving me this position. What advice would you have for that mom? Because moms are going to feel like they need to fight for their daughters.
Always, 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 always. And there's some that are really great about reaching out. I mean, I would say reach out to the coaches. Like, first, I'd question your child, honestly, because a lot of times the story that they have isn't actual truth. It's based on, you know, emotions. It's emotionally charged. It's not fully accurate. They're only telling you part of the story because they're upset, you know, and teenage years, it's hormones, it's all the things, right? You know, I would question, so tell me again exactly what happened. Okay, and how are you feeling about that? How does that make you feel? And sometimes, a lot of times with that, it squashes, it goes away, everything's fine. But if it really is something else, reach out to the coaches and don't bombard them. I mean, as coaches, none of us, that's our full-time job, right? We do so many other things. And when we get messages, like me personally, I have a 24-hour rule. I will respond to you within 24 hours, but I cannot do it right then and there. And usually after the 24 hours too, is when people have kind of calmed down a little bit, which is always a good thing. But the best thing you can do is reach out to the coaches and say, hey, you know, little Susie came home and told me this and this. I'd like to get the real story. Can we set up a meeting? And sometimes it's a phone call. Sometimes it's just some text. Sometimes it's a meeting with the parent and the child, mm-hmm. with the coaches. And so that everybody can understand all perspectives of what's happening. Because again, in a team sport, it's not an individual sport. It's what's best for the team. And sometimes if a girl is a flyer, let's say, and she can do these stunts really, really good, but maybe not, you know, the main stunt or the secondary stunt or whatever it is in the routine, they'll get, or maybe they're needed for something else. A lot of flyers are really great tumblers too. And like, maybe there's a girl that, hey, she can't hit this tumbling pass and we need these tumblers to do it this time. So I'm going to bring you down so you can tumble while another person takes that spot. It doesn't mean you're bad. It means you're needed in this area more for the team to succeed.
Yeah. So I think it's always good to not just, I think some teen girls and teen boys, I'm not going to be prejudiced.
Yeah. The teen boys, man, the boys on my teams are always my favorite. They're so great.
But I mean, they can be fire starters. And so it's easy to catch the fire. So it's really important, I think, to check it out. Just check it out.
Yeah, it really is. And honestly, one really good advice, like set of advice I would give to parents of any athlete is when your child gets in the car, do not ask them how practice was. Don't. That's not your job. Your job is to be their mom. Your job is to be their support system. If they get in the car crying, don't be like, oh my God, what happened? Like, hey, how are you feeling? What's going on? You know, and you just try to redirect. Practice, be practice. And again, practices are supposed to be hard so that games or competitions are easy. And so your job as a parent is not to coach your kid or tell your coach how to do their job. Your job is to love, support, and uplift your child through everything. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of parents get a little too involved with mm-hmm. this. And, oh, well, little Susie did this. Well, Sally's over here doing that. And, you know, Jessica, her mom told me this. And it just gets toxic and it gets bled down through the kids. And then it's brought into the team culture and the gym culture. And it just gets to be really toxic. In fact, I'm not a fan of parent viewing areas in gyms. As a gymnast, we never had them. Again, parents just get a little too involved. Like, oh, well, why aren't they having my kid do that? That girl keeps messing up and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. You pay this gym. You bring your kid here multiple times a week. You're highly invested. That means you have trust at some level. You've got to trust these people to do their job. And that stuff doesn't happen. It's so funny. It like doesn't happen in football practice or baseball practice where these parents are just sitting there watching, like, the coach is so stupid. You know?
Yes. Yes.
It's definitely more of like a moms and daughters type situation in dance, cheer, gymnastics is where it can be. And so, you know, me personally, I'm in the gym a lot because I do coach, but if there's 2 days a week that I don't coach, in those 2 days, I drop my girls off. See you later. I have so much to do. Or even if I'm just going to go sit in my car and relax for a little bit, I'm not going to go get involved. I don't want to be involved. That's their world. It's not mine. And I'm just here to pay for it, support them, love them, and uplift them through it all.
Oh, that's really good. So a couple of things I want to go back to, which is, yeah, I completely agree with you. Don't ask them about practice because it's their time to decompress. And they need to kind of work through what happened in practice. That's kind of theirs at that moment.
Yes. And you have to trust them to do so, whether they're 7 years old or 17 years old or 20 something. You have to trust your kids to be able to process that. Because if not, you're setting them up for failure. Mm-hmm. If they can't learn to process whatever events happen and be able to feel their way through it and kind of get over it, because you're always coming to the rescue or demanding to know what's wrong. What happens when they're in their mid-20s? What happens when they're in their 30s? They don't know how to emotionally regulate themselves. They don't know how to get through trials themselves. They sit around waiting for someone to save them, because that's all they know. My mom always saved me, or my dad always saved me. And my mom better not find out about this, because she's going to get mad at you. You know, that kind of mentality. And then it turns into this victim mindset, of almost like it leaves them powerless over their own trials, over their own events in life.
So the other thing you said, and I'm such a big promoter of this, is I think, you know, a lot of moms feel like they have no time, which, and we don't. We don't have any time.
Right? We're all so busy.
So you just, like, if a mom doesn't go to a practice, you just have an hour, or however long practice is.
You've got 1 to 3 hours to get grocery shopping done, to get home and do your laundry. I mean, I'm someone, I stay on top of my laundry every day because I hate piles of laundry. You know, you can do so many things, or you can do things to pour into yourself. Your child is doing something to pour into themselves. Why are you just sitting there watching them do that? You should be doing something to pour into yourself. Meditate, listen to podcasts you want to, read that book that you want to, go to the gym if you want, hit a yoga class up. There's so much you can do that we never have time for, quote unquote.
Right.
Really,
right.
We do.
When you're dealing with lots of girls, and we're talking about it, but I want to kind of go into, like, as a coach, how do you deal with jealousy on a team, and how do you deal with comparison?
So comparison is the thief of joy, right? And I am so intentional about kids understanding that they are not the same as anyone else. And that is their superpower. You are uniquely you. There is no one that is you. And that is your superpower. And just because you might not be the best tumbler on the team or the best base on the team doesn't mean that you're not the best something else on the team. Mm-hmm. And so there can be jealousy. Jealousy is a disease, though. It's something I have a zero tolerance policy for. When people come attacking someone else, it's always a direct look into what's going on in that person's world and that person's mind, not the person they're attacking, unfortunately. And so, you know, something I tell even my own daughters, when someone is saying something like, you know, girls can be girls, they can be mean, like, oh, she laughed at me when I did this, or she said I wasn't good at this, or did I, like, I stop them and say, what does that mean about you? That they're jealous, or that they're insecure, or that they feel that way about themselves. I'm like, yeah. So you should just don't take it personally and just send them love, because that's all you can do is love yourself and send them love. Because it has, one of my favorite terms is, that's an issue, not an ish me. So when someone's attacking with jealousy or comparison or anything, hey, that sounds like an issue, not an ish me. Hope you work on that.
I like that. I like that. I remember in my practice, a mom brought in an eighth grade girl. She was a dancer, and she was like the best dancer, the prettiest girl, you know, kind of on top. She was the one on top. So she thought if she was the best and on top, then she could be mean to all the other girls, because kind of like they would owe her homage or something, that she, because she was on top. And what happened to her is that it was a little private school. About 6 girls cornered her, like, in the bathroom and just told her off. So she came in shocked, literally shocked, in my practice, like, that she really had thought this was kind of a way to make friendships. And she truly did not know the golden rule. I think another thing I think is, you're probably very close to it, is that we're in a culture that kind of promotes like the superstar, you know? And so like what you're talking about in terms of that we're all superstars in our own way, you know, is so important.
Well, it really is. And kids get so caught up on social media. And, you know, I have kids who are literally the best. Like, they'll be the best on their team. I've coached them, you know, they're the best tumbler in the gym. They're the best flyer in the gym. They're the best back spot in the gym. Doesn't matter, right? I am so intentional with those girls to say, you better be the best example. Okay. Like, yes. Just like the girls you looked up to before you, you be someone that they look up to, someone that they are like, I want to be just like Harper one day. She's so amazing. And you you interact with them, you build them up, you inspire them. Like, we're all inspiring each other. And kids get so caught up on social media and that comparison and things like that of, I'm only good if I look good on my social media or in front of others. And that it's just such a toxic thing. And that's why I do love competitive sports too, right? Because, and team sports, mainly team sports too, where everybody has to work together and everybody has to have their own strength. Because at school, our kids are being exposed to so much. Mm-hmm. Things that we agree with, things that we don't agree with, mm-hmm. mean girls, nice girls, crazy people, fights at school. You know, I mean, it's all sorts of stuff, right? And then when they're not at school, they're on their phones on social media and they're going, oh my gosh, I'm not as pretty as this person. Look how this is. I need that outfit. I need this. I need that. I need that. So then I love when they get to come to like our gym, for example, and there's none of that. There's none of that. They get to just be fully invested in themselves, working on their strengths, developing and doing their best, and building that self-confidence from within. And that's what I love about sports, is that's what it really, it's a safe space out of school, the outside world. Maybe, you know, it can be problems at home. We don't know. There's so much that goes on in people's homes that we don't know. And, you know, it's something I drive home to my own daughters too, is like, hey, if they're really struggling with someone on their team, or if they're really struggling with someone at the gym, I'm like, you don't know what's happening outside of the gym. The gym is their safe space. And so you've got to be a safe space too, especially since COVID.
Yes.
I mean, brought out
yes.
so much. I mean, the rise in domestic violence and abuse, in suicide attempts and depression and anxiety in these teenage kids. I mean, actually young as 6 years old. It's so sad to me. And so it is my mission to create a safe space where kids can come and work on themselves and be their best version of themselves and learn to love and accept themselves fully while pushing themselves to do their best and be their best every moment and feel in control, right? Because I think mm-hmm. a lot of times as kids and as adults, it bleeds into adulthood until we wake up and realize, oh my gosh, I am in control of my life. Nobody else is. We always feel out of control, or like it's somebody else, you know, like we're a victim of our circumstances, or life is happening to me, not for me. And it's just something that we have to start incorporating younger and younger and younger with these kids these days.
Well, I love how you say, so for those girls who are very talented or the best in something, that you, like, how do you tell them to be an example? Like, in what ways are they being an example?
So one way is at practice, you are at practice. You're not on your phone. You're not sitting around. You're not laying around. If a little girl is watching you and cheering you on, you're not like, ugh, annoying. You're like, wave to them, smile at them. Then you go watch them on their team while they're practicing or doing, you know, we do full outs for each other. And I don't care if you are on the highest team or if you are on the lowest team of the gym. If you're both in the gym doing full outs together, one team will watch one, the next will watch what, and you better be in their faces cheering for them. You want them to cheer for you. And that goes down to, you know, especially these high level athletes, of like, if you're in the gym, you've got to be working hard and setting a good example of what everybody in this gym should be doing. If you are laying around on your phone or like taking breaks and being gone in the bathroom or getting a drink or like gossiping with your friends, that's going to tell all of these other kids that's totally perfect and normal to do. And it's just not okay. Like, you've got to just be the best example. And it's something as little as, you know, in tumbling warm up. If you're going to be the first or second in the tumbling warm up line, you better be on top of it, ready to go, so that everybody behind you is ready and doing the same thing. Not standing around going, what do we do next? Like, you're first. You're the example. You should know. If you don't, get in the back.
That's so perfect. I love it. So what about body issues? Like, how do you deal with that on a team?
So I am someone that I think everybody's body is beautiful. And I never am someone that's like, how much do you weigh, or you need to weigh this? Like, we have a scale in our house. I never owned a scale before I met Sean, but he had one. See, like I said, it's downstairs in the guest suite in the basement bathroom. So if anyone needs to go weigh themselves, they're going to have to make a track down there to do it, right? Because you're yeah. more than your weight, and it doesn't matter. 125 on someone looks different than it, you know, on a 5 foot person than it does a 5 foot nine person. And it's just different. And so, I mean, that is one thing I will say about cheerleading and gymnastics. Like, you're forced into these, you know, you have to wear very small, tight fitting clothes, but you're surrounded by people that are doing the same. And so you're never like, oh my gosh, I'm self-conscious, all of that, because you're exhausted from practicing and you're working hard, and you realize, I have to wear these things because if I wear something bigger, it's going to get in my way. I won't be able to do what I need to do. It's actually something I don't run into a lot.
Oh, that's good.
Body issues, which mm-hmm. is really amazing. And I don't know if it's just because I like set the intention that everybody's beautiful. And the more like our bodies are vehicles, right? And if we like our vehicles, if we put the right gas in, it works mm-hmm. better. And vehicles, you know, it gets us from point A to point B. And the more we can do with our body, like our bodies are miraculous. And, you know, Simone Biles can make her body do amazing things. So why can't these kids? And Michael Jordan can make his body do amazing things. So why can't we? Mm-hmm. And it's always about just developing the highest level of skill that you can and the coolest things you can make your body do. And if you're focused on that, you're not focused on what you look like. You're not mm-hmm. focused so much on like, oh my gosh, I feel self-conscious, or oh my gosh, I have a belly. It's like, I just did like 4 backflips in a row. All right.
Right.
Front butt step out, round off, handspring, whip, dub. I can do that. It doesn't matter what my weight is. I can do that. And that is right. more than anything else. And that's what, you know, I tell my daughters too, like Hallie, like when she's like, oh, mom, I need, you know, I wish my muscles were bigger. And I'm like, you literally throw around girls that weigh over 100 pounds every single day. You're really strong. It's okay if your arms don't look as cut as you want them to.
One thing I've heard a lot is the coach thinks I'm fat, so they're putting me either on the side or in the back. Which I think, again, is their perception. I'm not saying it's the coach.
Yeah. I was going to say, I've been coaching for 16 years. I've never heard anyone I know say that, or anyone I coach with say that or do that to a child. So if that is coming from, I mean, there are cases, I'm sure there are cases. I've never personally dealt with that in any of the gyms I've worked in or anything like that, where you were going to be hidden or anything for that. In fact, you know, on senior teams, we wear 2-piece outfits, and there are some bigger girls who are so like the strongest bases or the strongest back spots. And if they're in the back because they're a back spot, that makes sense. They have to be in the back of the stud to hold it up, right? Or it has usually nothing, like I will say this, it has nothing to do with what you look like. It's how well you are doing the skill that you need to be doing. So if your jumps aren't as high as someone who is smaller than you, it doesn't have to do with your size. It has to do with the skill. That's something to remember. Or if like, you know, a lot of times the girls that are really, really strong bases, some of them don't tumble. So of course they're going to be in the back during the tumbling because there's tumbling going on and things like that. And, you know, there are certain times that happen, like, you know, girls grow up as flyers and then they hit their growth spurt and their body changes and they're not as easy to fly anymore, but there's someone else on the team that is. It's, you're not getting taken out because you're too big or too fat. It's just to be able to hit these required skills that we need in a routine, it's not able to happen with you anymore. And that's totally okay. It was able to happen with you for this long. Now it's time to move on. There's so many girls that grow up flying and then they end up as bases. And then they become the best bases in the entire world because they know what it feels like to fly. And they protect their flyers better than anyone else. Sometimes it's just a season thing. It has ended and it's time to come into your new season. And that's normal. That's okay. There's stories all the time about stuff like this. Like Ryan from CEA was favorite flyer of so many people, and she's basing now. And everyone's like, she's the best base, you know? And it's like, yeah, because now her role has changed. Just all of our roles change, right? Like my role changed from being a wife to being a mother to then being a divorced mom to single mom, then being a mom that's dating, and now I'm remarried and have bonus children. So I'm a stepmom too. My role has changed so much over the last 20 years. I'm not like, why did this happen? Or someone's being mean to me. It's right. Like, well, no, that season has ended. It's time for the next season.
Mm-hmm. Another reason to moms, check it out. Check out their stories. All right. So how important is mindset in cheerleading or other sports?
It's the most important thing. And it is so wild to watch. And I see examples of it every single day. A lot of times when kids come in and they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, they're fearless. They have wild imaginations. It hasn't been programmed out of them. No one has told them you can't do this over and over and over, or, hey, that's really hard and you can't do it over and over and over. So they're fearless, especially with tumbling skills. You say, you set up the drills, they do them all. They don't question it. And then they get the skills and then they move on to the next skills and nothing can stop them because their brain hasn't caught up to their body yet. And then as kids get older, 10, 11, 12, they start questioning. That looks really hard now because I saw a girl fall doing it. So now what if I fall? Instead of being like, I don't care. I just saw 10 girls do it. 1 girl fell, 9 girls did it. And of course I can do it. They start to question themselves. And then about 12 to 14 is where we really start see these mental blocks, quote unquote, start to happen. All a mental block is an active choice to not do the skill based off fear. I do not believe in mental blocks. I never have. I can get anyone out of them because I let them know, like, this isn't happening to you. You're choosing this. Like, oh, I fell once. you didn't fall 100 times. Why are we focused on the one, not the 100? You know, I give this example time, if I were to say, hey, we're going to have a pizza party. I got this big piece of pizza, but I want a piece and you get all the rest. Would you be focused on the one piece I took, or would you be focused on the rest of the pizza? So if you fall in a skill, or, you know, if you fall once or twice, learning a skill, that's good. You're failing forward. You're learning what not to do. And so a lot of times these kids, what happens is they get 12, 14, they become complacent in where they are. Or they say things like, it used to be so easy for me. Your body has changed. 100% get that. Also, your mind's playing tricks on you. Someone has told you along the way, it's typically not the kid, that either this is too hard, or that this person's better, or that they can't do this, or that looks scary. And so they start to believe it because they hear it over and over and over again. Skill set is one thing, and I love coaching skill set, but mindset is really where power to change lies. And it really has to do with everything within a skill of how good you are. And I tell kids to remind themselves all the time, like when you were 6, 7, 8, you didn't even think about this. You would do whatever you were told because nothing could stop you. And now what's stopping you? Am I stopping you? Is that person over there stopping you? No, you're stopping you.
So yeah, you're in a very unique position because these girls could probably hide their mindset issues like during school, but you're asking them to do something hard. Mm-hmm. So the issues kind of surface, right?
Always. And it's so funny because sometimes I can tell right away if it's an issue within the sport or if it's an issue outside of the sport. I've got one girl right now who's working through, she's been tumbling for years, no problem. She tumbles in all of her routines and things like that. She's terrified to try new skills right now. And she's got a lot of extra pressure because her parents are having her try out for high school cheer, which is a different animal. It really is. Mm-hmm. I've coached high school cheer. It's a different animal than all-star. It is, can be more clicky, definitely more clicky. And it's more political. Who are your parents? Who do they know? Do they know the coach? How much should they give to the school? How involved are the parents in the school? How involved is the daughter in the school? It's new and it's different. And she doesn't want to tumble right now. Doesn't want to try any new skills because of all this external pressure to be one, going into high school, two, trying out for high school cheer, and three, like, am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? It's never been a question before because I know in all-star cheer, if I try out, I'm going to be placed on a team. But high school, if you don't make it, then you're going to be that girl that didn't make it. And so it's got all of this pressure and things like that. And I have to remind her all the time, like, hey, you're not at school. This isn't school tryouts. You don't have to worry about that. Right here for this next hour, I want you to focus on you and doing your best. And if we have to take that back a few steps, like if you don't want to work your full right now, that's fine. Let's do some tucks. Let's start with that. Like, I want you to just remind yourself of your power. I want to remind you of your power every single second in this moment and realize that if you're not doing what you normally do, that's okay. At least you're doing something to move that needle forward.
So how do you connect the girls to their power? How do you help them do that?
So many ways. It's celebrating everything, not just celebrating some things. You know, I have girls that will be amazing one week and not the next week. And they think, oh my gosh, I'm so bad. I was doing it last week. And it's like, it doesn't matter. You haven't worked on it for 6 days. You only worked on for an hour last week, and that was really awesome. It's okay if this hour is not the same hour as before. You know, let's redirect. So I'll redirect all the time or things like that. And I always tell me one thing you're grateful for and one thing you love about yourself. Mm-hmm. And that will usually get them back into things like that, just sticking with gratitude and just remembering what you love about yourself, because it doesn't matter how much someone tells you how great you are or how much they love you if you don't believe it yourself, if you're not grateful for what you have in your life, if you don't, you know, someone can tell you all day long, like, you are the most amazing tumbler in the world, but if you don't believe it, you never will be. And so it's one way I do is I celebrate everything. If they're struggling to do their round off hands ring full and all they can do is a round off hands ring, they get the biggest high fives as if they just did their round off hands ring double full from me. Like, you did it. Like, that is awesome. We did something today. Like, all you're doing is you're fixing your technique. You're working those, you know, those neural pathways to show, like, I don't stop. I keep going, even if it looks different today than it did last week. Even if it looks different right now than it did an hour ago, I'm doing something. That's a good thing about cheer too. You just get to cheer each other on. Like, I just, you know, I'm everybody's biggest cheerleader. I think as humans, we are truly unstoppable. And I think that we can do anything we put our minds to. And sometimes your mindset's not where it needs to be in a certain point, but that doesn't mean that it's going to stay there forever. And that's something I remind them too. Like, hey, it's okay if this was a rough hour. I'm not even going to call it a rough day. It wasn't a rough day. This was a rough hour for you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And out of a 24-hour period, if one of them was rough, that's totally okay.
So is that the same way you would build confidence in them or help them build confidence?
Yes. And I do another thing with my teams too, which is really cool. When I can tell someone's having a hard time, we do this thing in our group chats, and it's something I started last year or 2 years ago, where we just love bomb someone. They won't know what's happening. It's like you go to the person, you go to someone, hey, in the group chat, I want you just to say what you love about Addie. And so one person starts, Addie, I just want to say you did so awesome at this and this and this today. I love to have you on the team because you always do this. And then all the girls follow.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's the coolest thing because, again, there's no competition. It's all just creativity and love. And the better I can make this person, the better I'm going to be. It's amazing. And it's so cute. Last year we had a rough competition day. It was a 2-day comp. And the first day a girl got injured, dislocated her shoulder. It was a total accident. Didn't know what would happen, how it would happen. I was feeling very defeated as their coach. We went and had practice after, and I opened up and I was very vulnerable. That's another thing. As a coach, you have to be vulnerable. If they see you as like this superwoman or superman that never has issues, never has problems, it doesn't give them permission to come with you with their issues and their problems, or show that they have, weaknesses and struggles too. So I got really vulnerable and I was crying. And I said, I don't know what we're going to do. And I'm scared over that, but we're going to make it the best we can. And I left practice, and about an hour later, my phone was bombarded with those texts from all of these girls, ages 10 to 17, about what they love about me as a coach.
Oh my gosh. That's
and
so
how
cool.
I impacted them. And I was just like, oh, okay. It feels really good doing it for some other people, but it feels really good when you get it done for yourself too.
Oh, I love that. What last advice would you have for the moms listening?
Moms listening, this is what I would say is let your kids choose what they want to do to a certain extent, obviously, like our parents, like as parents, we've got to put the bumpers up. This is a bowling alley. We've got to put the bumpers up to keep their ball in the lane, but don't try to live vicariously through your child. Let your child be who they are. They are a perfect mix of you and of their dad and of all the other people in their life, and what they choose might be different than what you want them to. And just love and support and inspire them every step of the way, because that is our job, is to just teach our children what unconditional love is. You can do that as a parent in all areas, not just as a sport parent, knowing like even when they mess up, like, hey, I love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter what you do. I don't accept this kind of behavior, but regardless, I love you unconditionally. Nothing you can ever do will stop me from loving you. And so just being that supportive, be their cheerleader, cheer them on. Like, that's our job as parents, because the whole rest of the world is telling them they're not enough through social media, through bullies at school, through teachers that have a vendetta against your kid. And it could be for good reasons. You never know. But just love them unconditionally and teach them. By that, you'll teach them to love themselves. And then the world becomes a better place.
I love it. If a mom wanted to contact you, how could she contact you?
My phone number, I always, if you want to text me or give me a call, I'm available. My email address, we can drop it in the show notes. Mm-hmm. My phone number is 801-259-2849. My email is Caitlin@SeanFoyer.com. You can also find me on social media. Instagram is probably my biggest one. It's Caitlin Foyer, F-E-U-R-E-R. And then I have a coaching account too, at Fusion Kate, since I coach at Fusion and I love Fusion All-Stars. It's my favorite gym ever. So, I mean, I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. I will always respond. I do work skill set in person. And then I also do work mindset with athletes and business owners around the country. And that's really, really fulfilling. And I love it.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been really helpful.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. And I can't wait to listen to your next episodes. I think you're the best.
Awesome. This concludes this week's episode of Power Your Parenting Moms with Teens podcast. If this podcast has been helpful, I would absolutely love it if you could go to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star review. This makes it easier for other moms like you to find the support and encouragement they need. Also, my award-winning best-selling books, Dial Down the Drama, Reducing Conflict, Reconnecting with Your Teenage Daughter, and my newest release book, Dial Up the Dream, Making Your Daughter's Journey to Adulthood the Best for Both of You. You can find both of these books wherever books are sold. And you can find other great resources and contact me at ColleenO'Grady.com. And that has 2 L's and 2 E's.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.